The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
Welcome to the How to Kill an Hour, the half-hour edition brought to you by Southside Medical Center, where your health is their primary care. And now, without further ado, here's your host for the next 30 minutes, the one, the only, the Ed Man.
Welcome once again to the How to Kill an Hour radio show. I'm your host, the man with a plan, the Ed Man, here with news for the past week. And oh no, Donald Trump's in so much trouble because it's been shown that WikiLeaks was conspiring with him, with Don Jr. during the campaign and gave him documents that were not available to the public. Here's the CNN story.
Trump Jr. others in the Trump Organization received an email in September 2016 offering a decryption key and website address for hacked WikiLeaks documents. Now, this is according to the September 4th, 2016 email.
You now know, looking at timing, that Mana reported that Don Jr., the president's son, tweeted about WikiLeaks for the first time the same day that this email that he doesn't recall came through. Politically, just difficult for the team, or legally, some implications here?
What legal implications? Oh no, the liberals are going to win. They're going to put Donald Trump in jail, except for one thing.
We're actually correcting a story that we have been reporting throughout the day today about an email that was sent to the Trump campaign, to then candidate Trump, Donald Trump Jr., and others during the heat campaign season. This email included a decryption key and also a link to where they could access some of these hacked WikiLeaks documents from the Democratic National Committee. Now, we've been reporting that this email came on September 4th. That was before some of these documents were publicly available. But we have just obtained a copy of this email. And instead, we now learn that this email was on September 14th. So that is 10 days later than what we originally reported earlier today. And this appears to change the understanding of this story, because initially it seemed perhaps they were being offered access to documents that were not yet publicly available.
Uh-oh. Lucy, you got some explaining to do. CNN. Manu Raju, you got some explaining to do. Manu Raju and Jeremy Herb, when it's a person's name. They've written this fake news story here, and they are correcting this story. So good for them, you know, that they are putting out a correction. And I'll let Ace News reporter Manu explain it to you in his own words exactly what happened.
Our initial reporting on that September 4th date was based on two sources who had seen this email, but that information was incorrect now based on a copy of the email that we have obtained this afternoon. So Brooke, it just shows that perhaps the initial understanding of what this email was perhaps is not as significant as what we know now based on this email.
So CNN reports that the Trump team got information that was not yet publicly available, when in fact it was already publicly available. So they went from looking at everything from, you know, making them look bad to legal ramifications to a big nothing story. You know, just amazing how this fake news happens. And this is why they're called fake news, because it's misreported information. It's incorrect information. And this story is by Manu Raju and Jeremy Herb from CNN. And, you know, they claim that they had two sources that verified this information. But I think those two sources were Manu Raju and Jeremy Herb. I mean, that's just kind of my gut feeling on this. Wow, so funny. So they trot Manu Raju out there in front of the camera to apologize for this. And boy, does he look miserable. And you should have seen CNN's initial tweet, you know, when they first broke the story, and the liberals were so happy. They're like, yes, finally Russiagate is real. And it must be so bad to be a liberal right now, because like every single thing that you think is going to turn out for you keeps going in the other direction over and over and over again. I mean, what Trump said about getting tired of winning, it's kind of coming true, isn't it? I mean, every single time they think they've got Trump on Russia or on some Russian conspiracy, over and over, it turns out to be fake news. It's really embarrassing. It's embarrassing. And what's so funny is that, you know, when Charlie Brown tries to kick the football and Lucy takes it away, and then over and over she keeps talking him in and trying to kick the football and she takes it away, you'd figure that eventually, at some point in time, they would post a story going, we got him, we got Trump, finally we got Trump. And you'd think that some liberals would say, well, now hang on, because we've been here before, this has happened before, let's wait and see if it turns out to be real or not. Nope, they keep embarrassing themselves over and over again. Joy Behar is like, we got him. She was so happy. And then nothing, just taken away from her. Hilarious. Really, I mean, these are great times to be living in, aren't they? Aren't they wonderful to see the ownage of these people? And the click-through headline that I saw for this story was, email sent to Trump's contradicts news report. I mean, that is so vague. I mean, they should have just named it, the headline there, the click-through headline should be CNN screws up story, or CNN rides again and messes up everything. They just, they can't catch a break, can they, over there at CNN? All this just happened, by the way. Here's a report today, Washington, AFP. Donald Trump on Saturday renewed his onslaught against major U.S. news networks, accusing them of launching a vicious assault on his presidency as he seized on a reporting error by CNN. In an early morning tweet, the U.S. president said, fake news, CNN made a vicious and purposeful mistake yesterday. They were caught red-handed, just like lonely Brian Ross at ABC News. If you remember last week, Brian Ross had a story saying that the Trump campaign was colluding with Russia because Michael Flynn was directed to speak to Russia during the campaign, when in fact he claimed that he was directed to speak after the campaign, which would be a normal thing for a transition team to do. So a complete non-story again. Timing really is everything, isn't it? You know, you think of the perfect thing to say, but it was after you could have used it, right? You found your credit card, but it was after you drove to get the cash out of the ATM, right? Hey, that lady I like is interested in me, but she moved away like last week, so it's a little late. Poor CNN. Let's find another story. Highlighting their crack reporting here. Here's a story now. This one's a little seedy. You know, all the scandals that have been going around. You know, they got Al Franken, right? Al Franken, by the way, Al Franken has technically, he's resigned, but in name only. He hasn't actually resigned. He's called a press conference. And everybody figured some more allegations came out against him, of course, and he called a press conference, and you think, okay, well, this is it. He's either going to resign and say goodbye to you, or he's going to say, I'm not going to resign. I'm going to stay. You wouldn't figure that he could kind of walk the line between those two things, but he figured out a way to do it. So he said, in the coming weeks, I will resign. So what does that mean in the coming weeks? That, I mean, does he mean like in 2 or 3 weeks, or does he mean in like the next 52 weeks or the next 104 weeks? When exactly does he plan on when he's reelected again, and then maybe during that term he'll resign to run for president in 2020? When exactly is he planning to resign? So he just left that up in the air. But he seemed very sincere about it, and that's what's important, isn't it? He was very serious when he said it. All right, so Donald Trump now is on the list. Renewed accusations here. A former Fox News anchorwoman who accused Bill O'Reilly of sexually harassing her in 2011 is now claiming that Donald Trump kissed her on the lips in an elevator. And you're like, oh my God, this is all going to start again. Here's the headline. Ex-Fox News anchor Juliet Huddy says Trump kissed her on lips after a lunch. And she made this announcement on Thursday morning on the Morning with Bill Schultz podcast. And then in parentheses, it says, which has a paywall. I don't know why they would feel that that's necessary information. I mean, I guess if we wanted to see it for ourselves, we have to go through the paywall. This is being reported by David Moy of Huffington Post. And so apparently this happened around 2005 or 2006 when Trump was hosting The Apprentice on NBC. He took me to lunch in Trump Tower, she said. He said goodbye to me in an elevator while his security guy was there. Oh, there's a witness. He went to say goodbye, and he, rather than kiss me on the cheek, he leaned in on the lips. This son of a bitch, assaulting. He's just kissing. He said, he told us that. He's, I just kiss. I don't even think I just kiss. Huddy, whom Trump knew because she co-hosted Fox and Friends on the weekend, said she assumed Trump's kiss was just confusion. Oh, we went the wrong way, she said. She also said she wasn't offended. I thought, this is interesting. Huddy said she was surprised when he went for the lifts, but didn't feel threatened. In fact, she brought a friend back to Trump Tower so that the future president could give them a tour of the Apprentice set. So she actually went back for a tour of the set. She went back to Trump Tower. That's interesting. So Huddy believes Trump was single at the time, and after checking the math, host Bill Schultz said it was possible he wasn't engaged to Melania Trump at the time of their kiss. So this is a nothing story. So everything was fine. She's not upset about it, she says. They believe he was single. And so this is really nothing. But it garners a huge headline here. I mean, I guess it's interesting in a National Enquirer sort of a way. But again, you know, you see that headline. And I think that after a while, you kind of become inured to this. Because when I saw that headline, I was like, all right, Trump, this is not going to be the end of Trump. But I would think that a liberal seeing that, and the reason why I believe this is because of their comments, and you look at the tweets that they make when a headline like this comes out, they're like, this is it, this is the end, we got him, this is, and you saw Joy Behar's reaction on The View, right? And again, disappointment, a non-story, just filling up lines, just filling up space, just getting clicks, but not really significant. Very, very funny. Roy Moore, you know, when the Roy Moore thing happened, I did not think it was going to be nearly as big a deal as it ended up being. I thought it was just going to be another accusation thing. But no, it's turned into a whole to-do. You know, I personally, I don't really care about this election. But I see it's really making it's making a national impact. It's making a national impact. And, you know, it's funny because they are saying that all Republicans always circle the wagons. The Democrats say that the Republicans always protect their own and we always just give up so easily. But the Republicans say the same thing too. The Republicans say the Democrats always protect their own and we give up too easily. So it's funny how both sides kind of have that idea about the other side. But the reason to bring this guy up here is because the Roy Moore stuff, I mean, you don't know. So here's a thing. Here's a point that a lot of Democrats are missing on the Roy Moore story, which is that Roy Moore is denying these claims. Okay, Al Franken and his ilk are saying that it's true. So that's the difference. You know, you don't toss somebody out just because of accusations. You've got to see if those accusations are real. And Gloria Allred is representing one of Roy Moore's accusers. And the accuser has come out and said that she added some notes to the yearbook signature that supposedly proved that there was an untoward relationship with each other. So she held a press conference, and it has been revealed that the yearbook thing, at least part of it, is not true. People were saying this originally. They were like, oh, well, the signature is in a different ink than the note that's on it. And, this other part of it is a different ink. And he didn't have those initials. He wasn't that at that time. And, they were just kind of picking apart problems with it. But Roy Moore, who's running a race here, I guess every little thing matters. And I think it's funny again that Gloria Allred once more is thrown her weight behind somebody who is not, at least not completely credible. And her daughter is the same way, the one that represented Kathy Griffin, and then Kathy Griffin got mad at her. So, I mean, when you look up ambulance chaser in the dictionary, I mean, there has got to be a Gloria Allred, at least as one of the pictures in there, right? She's so bad, though, I think she might rate two pictures. I would like the first picture to be of the ambulance going by and she looks at it. And then the next picture of her chasing it on foot. let's see what else we got going on here. Oh, wow. We got a tense exchange between Dustin Hoffman and John Oliver. John Oliver, he's a guy you go, if you like your comedy articulate but unfunny, John Oliver is the go-to guy for this kind of stuff. And he had an interview. Well, it wasn't a one-on-one interview. Where was this at? This was a panel discussion on behalf of the Tribeca Institute. But basically, there's Dustin Hoffman and other people around, and on the other side of these chairs is John Oliver. And Dustin Hoffman has been accused by two or three women for, sexual misconduct, I guess would be the way to put it. This person named Anna Graham, which sounds like the fakest name ever, right? That doesn't even sound real. But she says that she was an intern 40 years ago, in I think 1980, on a set of one of Dustin Hoffman's movies, and she said he groped her and said inappropriate things to her. She was 17 at the time, and so John Oliver is taking it upon himself to get the facts from Dustin Hoffman about this story. So Dustin Hoffman claims that he doesn't know who this lady is. And although you would think he would remember that name, right, Anna Graham? I have the utmost respect. This is Dustin Hoffman. I have the utmost respect for women and feel terrible that anything I might have done could have put her in an uncomfortable situation. I am sorry. It is not reflective of who I am. And so, you know, that's kind of a standard response. I didn't do it, but if I did, I've changed. She might think that I did it, and for that, I apologize that she feels that way, but it wasn't my fault. So apparently this type of response makes John Oliver really mad. So he's grilling Dustin Hoffman, and he's reading from this lady's diary. This diary was published in the Hollywood Reporter. And he's reading from this lady's diary, and Dustin Hoffman says, "Do you believe..." In the diary, she writes, "Dustin's a pig, but I like him a lot." And John Oliver says that is, that's a compliment, but it's also damning. And Dustin Hoffman breaks in and he says, "Do you believe this stuff you read?" And John Oliver says, "Yes." And Dustin Hoffman asks, "Why?" And John Oliver replies, "Because she has no reason to lie." And I'm sorry, but that's a BS answer. Just because you can't think of the motivation of the person to lie doesn't mean that they're not lying. Now, I personally tend to believe the victim. Okay, I also kind of go that route. Well, I can't see the motivation for her lying. But just because of that doesn't mean that you should act upon the other person as if they're guilty. Now, would I want to be, if I was a lady, would I want to be alone with Dustin Hoffman? No, I would watch myself after reading about this, after reading this story. But to really publicly kind of embarrass somebody for something that you don't know is true, I am fine with John Oliver asking about these allegations. But what I don't like about this is that John Oliver says that Dustin Hoffman's responses piss him off. He actually said that. I would play the audio, but the audio is just so crummy. You might be able to hear it better if you look it up yourself, but most of the places that have the original audio have a transcription down at the bottom. But John Oliver's refusal to... I don't mind that he doesn't accept what Dustin Hoffman says, but to express rage about it, I think, is very inappropriate because he's inserting himself into the... into the conversation as if he is an actor in it, as if he's a player in it. And I feel like John Oliver is, what's that called? Self-aggrandizing, right? I feel like he's making it about him when he's got nothing the damn to do with it. Dustin Hoffman's apology says it's not reflective of who I am today. They left that word off. And John Oliver says that that response pisses him off because it is reflective of who you were. They're both saying the same thing. So John Oliver is sticking himself into a situation to look like he's an important reporter, interviewer, but he's not. He is a very poor man's John Stewart. You know, he thinks he's edgy, but he's just annoying. I'm glad that Dustin Hoffman sat through the whole interview and took it. You know, but isn't it interesting how the left is eating their own, right? All the actors are now under fire after all of those commercials that they did saying vote for Hillary Clinton. But, you know, the main thing about these leftists is that they want to feel important. And you can see it here, right? They want change. They don't really even care if it's good change or not. They want to just pretend that it's good change so that they can get credit for changing things for the better. But in reality, it really is just about them. They're very, very self-centered. And John Oliver is just a perfect example of this. And you know, who else has become like this, also related to The Daily Show? I mean, what are they doing over there? They're just like corrupting people. Formerly funny, Stephen Colbert had Billy Bush on, and the two of them are just kind of having this sort of virtue signaling pissing contest where they're trying to see who can virtue signal the furthest. It's ridiculous because they both look so somber and their heads are down and they're like, yeah, you know, that's it's no good. You know, Trump is terrible and Billy Bush is making excuses for himself. He's basically saying, I just thought he was just, you know, giving me just trying to look good in front of me. And so I just listened to him and boy, am I ashamed of my behavior back then. He's got his head down. He says, but Trump is really awful. And Stephen Colbert is, you know, not giving Billy Bush any credit because he's got the super moral high ground, right? He's better than both Billy Bush and Donald Trump because he's never done anything like this. He's never acted like he's a big shot around women. He's so virtuous. he's replaced funny with virtue. And for him, it's a really bad trade-off. He got nothing out of it. All right, guys, got to